not coming back here is heaven enough? Huh? But we're, okay, that's a negative goal, but what is your positive goal? You want to go to Krishna. Then you simply follow Krishna's instructions how to attain him. Anyone else? Yes? The books are presenting knowledge of persons who have been there and who are there, and they're communicating to you what it's like. Now, the actual proof for you will be to go there. How do you know Hawaii is there? Waikiki. For you, the actual proof will be to go there. So if I put a ticket in your hand, here, you go to Waikiki and see it's there, will you complain? Okay, so if I put a Bhagavad Gita in your hand and say, here, you follow this and you go back to Godhead, will you complain? Okay. Huh? That's a good point. Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita that you don't have to wait till you die to taste spiritual perfection. You can have that in this very body because it's a matter of consciousness. Therefore, the great devotees, they say, we don't even mind if we take birth in this world again and again, as long as we don't forget Krishna. That's why Bhagavad Gita is teaching the art of how to be conscious of Krishna in any situation, because then wherever you are, you have the spiritual world. Fascinating, huh? Anyone else? Yes? Emily, yes. Yes. What? She's asking. I told her, in the spiritual world, everything is eternal. Krishna never loses anything. There's no question of depletion, or that's material thinking, that if I take something away, then there's less. But in the spiritual world, everything is eternal. Everything is always existing. So much so that Krishna can expand himself even into other supreme personalities of Godhead, but still the original personality of Godhead is intact. You're dealing with a different kind of energy. There's no question of exhaustion or depletion in the spiritual world. So, are you interested in going there? Will you pay the price? Huh? Okay, fair enough. No guts, no glory. Isn't that a motto at the ski slopes? No guts, no glory. Anyone else? Another one. Okay, you got any questions?
Nothing.
How's your health? Better?
A little, yes. Right. I should be back to normal. Normal service.
What do you do in the morning tomorrow?
I work in the.
Ah, might be able to give me a bit of a massage tomorrow morning. Yeah. You're out of the, how should we say, the infectious stage?
Yeah.
Yeah, if you could, because I won't be able to swim tomorrow. I have to. Hey, sometime between 10 and 12. Any questions?
I don't know. I just want to know a little more about initiation. I've read a lot.
Yes. Real initiation is in the heart. The actual ceremony is a formality. It's a necessary formality at some point in time, but actually without the heartfelt commitment, the ceremony, you know, has no value. So real initiation can happen before the ceremony, during the ceremony, after the ceremony, or not at all. It's not that, you know, just, you know, make a little fire and presto, it all works from there. No, there has to be a heartfelt exchange. So it's, initiation means that in your heart you're accepting, not that you're just going through motions. It's not just a ritual. The ritual is necessary at some point in time, but the real thing is the heart, and that can precede the ceremony quite easily. Just like Prabhupada, he waited 13 years for his initiation. But he said, from the first day he met Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he accepted his mission into his heart. He said that was the actual initiation. Whereas so many of his godbrothers, they had the ceremony long before Srila Prabhupada, but they, we can see now, they didn't take the mission of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur into their heart to the extent that Prabhupada did. And Srila Prabhupada only saw Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur a few times. He was not like a personal associate. And so much so that, in fact, his godbrothers were surprised when later Prabhupada spread Krishna consciousness, you know, because they only saw him as, well, Abhay Babu, a householder selling pharmaceuticals, you know. So, in fact, a lot of them could never really accept him fully because they just kept remembering him as a congregational member who lived outside. So they always kind of looked to him like he was the junior. So, yes. Because the Vapu, this is the physical association with the spiritual master, you may get it sometimes, you may not. But the Vani, association through the mission, that you always can have. But relationship comes through the mission. Otherwise, it's a, you know, it's just a personality cult, you know. The relationship is based on service. Now, while the physical association is there, you take advantage. Doesn't mean, oh, you know, no, we're only into the body, we're only into the mission, so even physically, when the spiritual master's there, you know, I'm beyond that. No.
Some stuff from the heart that they said that they're not trained.
I cannot say about all the individual circumstances, but the disciple has to be committed, and the spiritual master must do his job. Often the disciples don't want to be trained. They just want a picture to put on the wall, and, you know, hey, do my own thing. Offload some karma, you know, and that's it, you know. So often, you know, you have to look at both sides. Often the disciples don't want direction. That means they're not real disciples. That's why I say real initiation is an affair of the heart. It's not dependent on the ceremony, but the ceremony at some point in time is necessary. Just like Prabhupada, 13 years before his ceremony. But he said, as soon as he met Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he took the mission into his heart. He said, I knew this is the Vaikuntha man. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati really told him. spread Krishna consciousness in the Western world. And Prabhupada took that into his heart. That was actually the most serious. When you take the mission into the heart, you understand? So, yes, you can think, well, you know, am I getting enough training? But also, you have to look at the other side. Is the disciple looking to get training? Often, devotees don't want to be guided because they don't want to give up their material desires. That means that the spiritual master can't even tell most devotees sometimes what he wants to say because they're not ready to hear it. Because what happens if you tell, if you give an instruction to a disciple and he doesn't carry it out, what is that? It's an offense. So, therefore, to avoid an offense, you have to allow an offense. You have to allow someone to stay in Maya to avoid a worse offense of their neglecting the doctor's instructions. So, you know, the whole thing is very intricate. Arjuna sets the standard. Shishrashtayam shadimantam prabandhu. He tells Krishna, now I'm your disciple, I'm a soul surrendered unto you, please instruct me. Sagveta pratam manye. Oh Krishna, I totally accept everything you're saying. So this is Arjuna demonstrating how to be a proper disciple. Any other questions? Yes.
How do we chant very good prayers?
First of all, I should speak about that in class tomorrow. First of all, you have to physically arrange your life so that you have a chance to chant nicely. Just like I told you, you should as much as possible chant in the temple. Keep your mind from wandering. When you're on your own in your room, you can say what your mind is doing, but when you're around others who are chanting, the natural tendency is that you want to concentrate too. He was telling me it gets too cold in the temple sometimes. As an old body, you know, sometimes. It's rheumatism or something. And he doesn't have any sweaters or anything like that, so.
Maharaja did give him one sweatshirt, so he has no excuse.
He doesn't have to take a correction. You have to know that about me. So, you know, he was telling me that. I asked him, why weren't you chanting in the temple in this room? Because it was too cold. Or maybe he's in bad health. Sometimes if it gets too cold for me, I can't chant the temple. But in here, they put the heat on. Anyway, he's from New Zealand. This is not cold for you. When you're sick sometimes? You're sick now? That's another thing he does. He blames everything else. Telling you all his tricks, you can help him. He's getting good natured about it. It's not easy to be around you all the time, but he's learned how to survive. Yes. As much as you can. Yeah. Because you've got to change your rounds, you know. As much as you can. The more the better. You and I'll discuss how you can do your best. Especially, you don't have any kids now, so you definitely should try to do all you can now. Because if you do have kids in the future, definitely will. You have to be practical and accept that whatever you're doing now, if there's children, you'll do less. So, while there's no children, I can say forever, but while there are no children, you should get in all you can. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, what? Can't be a yogi if you eat too much or eat too little, sleep too much or sleep too little. So body's bare, you know? So, you know, generally we say 6 to 7 hours of sleep for someone who's healthy. Some can do less, some are not healthy, they need more. You just pray to Krishna. They do the right thing. But if you want to take up an austerity, try to chant Hare Krishna with attention. Try to do that. Where do you chant? Where do you chant? You can't chant in the temple. Because what happens? Oh, your mind. Like what happens is your mind wants to rebel. Come on, let's get out of here. Let's go space out and walk around or go in the room and fidget with that. The mind tells you, you want to concentrate on Krishna's name? Come on, get me out of here. That's what happens. The best thing is if you would sit down and chant in the temple, or you guys have the balcony, you can pace back and forth. Whatever gets the job done for you. I do both every morning. I pace doing 16 rounds and I sit down doing 16 every morning. So like when you see me sitting down on that cushion, that's my second set of 16 rounds and I sit down. Otherwise, first set I pace because I just need to limber up, you know, loosen up.
Maharaj, in Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, Narada Muni is speaking of association with pure devotees, and also in lots of Srila Prabhupada's purports throughout the Bhagavad Gita and other different literatures I've read, said that association with the great devotees is really, it has such an effect on me that it's, Narada Muni had, only the association of, he was there, doing some personal service for the sages during the 4 months of the rainy season. And it's personally experienced by me and a lot of, other people here at the temple that when, sannyasis are here, like yourself or, different sannyasis, that it really enlivens, Bhakti Sananta Maharaj. It really enlivens everyone, during cure time, and it's like my personal experience is I feel so much, I'm thinking about Krishna so much more often. But, the opportunity for association, it isn't always there all the time, the amount of time. So, but different people say that actually, you don't need to have a personal association. You can associate with Srila Prabhupada through his books and, serve the spiritual master in separation. So, could you tell me a little bit about how that works?
How that works?
How you can still get the same experience of having association.
That is the mystery of bhakti. I mean, have you seen Krishna eat the food that's offered? But you still will take it as prasad and you can taste the difference. So these things are not within the range of your senses. How? Through serving, you have the presence of the person. But you will find out if you apply it. You will find out. Just like all of us who tried have found out. Yeah. So you have to try it. Put in some time. Patience. In fact, real bhakti is, even though I cannot see Krishna, still I will serve him with love. That's real bhakti. And when you have a physical association, you take advantage of that. In the absence of the spiritual master, his words are the pride of the disciple. So, this is all part of the mystery of Krishna consciousness. How the deities actually are the Supreme Person. How Krishna is his name. How the prasad has been eaten by Krishna. These are all mysteries, which you only can enter into through bhakti yoga. There's no doubt about it. Krishna consciousness is a mystery. The Lord says that in Bhagavad Gita. Sevaya mayatita yoga prakta pravatima bhakta sime sakachinti rahasam eta bhutama. It's a mystery, the greatest mystery. Rahasam eta bhutama. Certainly, Krishna's certainly it's the greatest mystery. The science of the relationship between the soul and the Supreme Soul. Raja Vijayaraja Kriya, king of knowledge, secret of all secrets. So, you know, you're dealing with a mystery. You just have to understand that. But you can enter into the mystery using the appropriate methods. Whenever you all take prasad, you're partaking in the mystery. How is it that Krishna ate it? Did you realize that, Veronica? You're dealing with a mystery when you take prasad. Did you see Krishna eat it? But it tastes different, doesn't it? It's a mystery. Krishna can eat by hearing your prayers. He can eat by glancing over. And he's so kind, he leaves everything there for you to take. I told you once what I was thinking when I was first reading the books and I had no association with devotees. I told you why I thought I shouldn't offer my food. I tell you. Well, you know, I was reading the books at home and I hadn't been to the temple, so I kept reading this about you offer the food to the Lord and take the remnants. Remnants. So remnants means what's left over when you, after you throw something away, you know? So I was, you know, precise literally. So I said, that's crazy. You offer the food to Krishna and then take the remnants? I said, that means you cook up food in a big pot, and then you take all that food you cook in the pot and you throw it out, and whatever clings to the bottom of the pot, the remnants, that's what you take. There's no way I'm doing that. So forget it, it's nuts. You know, the remnants, I was, you know, being literally precise. It shows you how it's best to read the books of the Association of Devotees. I can't do that. At some point, you cook up a whole pot, and then you throw it out, and whatever sticks to the bottom of the pot, the remnants you can have. I haven't found anybody who's thought like that. I think I was the only one who speculated that way. What other speculations that I have? I was reading a Krishna book about the spiritual world, and I thought, I better hurry up and get there before it gets overcrowded. Yeah. Can what? Yes. Well, it depends on how precise you want to be. You could say same or similar. It depends on how, you know, much you want to get into it. I mean, ultimately, in the spiritual world, nothing is the same because everything is personal and individual. But broadly, generally, you can say the same. Just like here in Los Angeles in the early 70s, when the book distribution boom started, one devotee was preaching that the book distributors were in the mood of the gopis, arranging meetings for other gopis with Krishna. You know, the book distributors would arrange that the conditioned souls get to hear about Krishna. And so there was a controversy about that here. And they wrote Prabhupada. And he said, he wrote back, yes, actually that's true. Nikunjayana Rati Kevasiva, Yayali Biryukti Akashish. The gopis, he said, are, the book distributors are in that mood of the gopis making arrangements for Krishna's meetings. So it's, of course, high understanding, but still.
Maharaj, can you speak a little bit about when there's confusion about choosing your spiritual master, when you are inspired by so many great Vaishnavas, when do you know it's right?
Well, look and see if they have who has a sparkle in the eye. Look and see whose teeth are the shiniest. Look and see who wears, wears the sweaters you like the best. Now, what should you look for? Since, as you say, there's so many greats, look for the one who gets you to give up your nonsense the most. Since there's so many greats, find the particular great one who can get you to give up your material attachments and surrender to Krishna the most. That's the whole point of it. Not like, who's going to leave me alone, who won't get on my case, who really recognizes how great I am. Find someone who will work on you to get you to surrender to Krishna. Find someone who helps you to get rid of your nonsense. That's what you should think. Just like Arjuna said, just take one side and one turn. Now I'm your disciple, I'm a soul surrender to you. Please instruct me. The whole point is to become cleansed, to become purified. So you want help to do that. It's not like you're choosing a rock star or something whose picture will open on my wall. It'll be David Bowie or whoever's popular these days.
But still we go through this confusion.
Why should there be confusion? If you know what the purpose is, that it's not a personality cult. Well, who do I, who resonates with my personality? Who's cute? Now, who gets, since I'm seeing so many greats, who is the particular great one who I think has the most chance to get me to give up my nonsense? Look for that opportunity. How's that?
That is good.
It's like when you let's say you need surgery. How do you look for a surgeon? Who's going to best cut out the tumor?
I guess the doctors are all able to do it.
That's also a good point. Yes. If you're smart, you'll think about that. But many devotees think the opposite. Who'll be furthest away? It won't bother me.
I
don't want anybody on my case too much,
there was the second part of what I was thinking also, because I just got back to Florida and my dad had a heart attack. And my brother called me and said, "You better get over here, and it doesn't look too good." And then he had some surgery, some procedure where he went into cardiac arrest, kind of like a heart attack on the operating table. And you know, stuff from it. You know, I went through a lot of emotions, and almost losing my dad. You know, we're very close, you know, in a dysfunctional type of way, you know, but still he's my father, and I love him a lot. And, you know, I don't know exactly what the question is, other than just to express what my feelings are about this stuff. You know, thank God he's okay now. He's resting at home, and it's amazing. We're now 80 years old. He went through the whole white light experience and everything. He remembers laying on the hospital table or whatever, and hearing there's nothing more that we can do here. You know, it's, and he was trying to speak, and he felt like he was swallowing his tongue. He had a whole bunch of visions as he was
going. Who was saying there's nothing more we can do for you?
Yeah.
Who was saying?
The doctors. Yeah. The doctors. You know, and, you know, the reason I segue into this is because, you know, we were talking about you asked which doctor you choose, and it's like all he could rely on was the doctor who was there. You know, it wasn't hard to give up. He could shop around at this point, and he had to have faith and trust that his doctor would do the procedure. Anyway, I just needed to talk about that just because I've been through that.
Well, the fact is you will lose him at one point.
Yeah. You know, how can you speak a little bit about that, about losing battle memory or somebody?
Well, Krishna speaks about that in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita. He's quite strong with Arjuna. Asojana of Asojastam, Bhagavadam, Shavasasa. Katasun, Nagatasun, you're speaking big words, but actually, you don't know what you're talking about because you're lamenting for what is not worthy of grief. Someone who's actually wise doesn't lament for the living or the dead. These are just phases, material phases. The soul is actually eternal. In the sixth canto of Bhagavatam, you'll find Narada Muni and Jiju. Narada Muni and Angirishi. They brought back the dead son of Jitaketu, who began to instruct his father. The departed Jiva began to instruct his father. What are you lamenting for me for? You say you're my father? May I ask you, in which birth were you my father? In other words, you should also be lamenting for your father in your previous life and the life before that too. Mm-hmm. Why just lament for your father in this life? If you gave him a chance to do some service for Krishna, you should be happy. You've done your job. And the fact is, by your efforts to be Krishna conscious, he'll get credit. So instead of lamenting, well, it's natural to lament, son, you should be trying to be Krishna conscious, knowing that he, as your father, will get direct credit from that. That's what Prahlad Maharaj realized when Lord Nrsimhadev killed his father and then asked Prahlad for a benediction. What benediction did Prahlad want? And Prahlad replied, please, simply give a benediction to my father. And Lord Nrsimhadev said, well, don't you know? Because you're his son, he automatically will get such great benefit. So if you want to do the best thing for your parents, you become Krishna conscious. Mm-hmm.
Does this benediction apply to sister brothers?
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, you're speaking about the spiritual master helping you get rid of the nonsense. So, when does my nonsense end?
Good question. But let's not get into a whole kind of self-flagellation. Now let me explain. Mm-hmm. When I said the spiritual master helps you give up your nonsense, then our nonsense is we don't want to serve Krishna, but we want to serve our senses. So that is the nonsense. Who can get you to increase your service to Krishna? So there is love, but it's real love. Real love is how to get someone to serve Krishna. It's not like you just get pounded. Real love means to guide someone so that they can get away from material desires and serve Krishna. So it is a relationship based on real love. The spiritual master thinks, oh, this Veronica, she's such a better, much better devotee than me. She just doesn't realize it yet. So how can I get her to realize she's the best devotee? And of course, Veronica's thinking, I'm such a bad devotee. How will I ever become a good one? But the spiritual master's thinking, she's actually a better devotee than me. She just hasn't realized her potential yet. It's like Prabhupada said, Krishna has sent me so many little spiritual masters to train up. That way, demonstrating how he thinks he's the servant of everyone. Factually, you are already Krishna conscious. You just forgot. Anything else? That's why we should chant with attention in the morning. Where do you chant your rounds? I don't remember seeing you in the temple anymore. I could have missed you. Why? Everyone, if you're serious about chanting, you should try to chant in the temple. It's easier to concentrate. It's a beautiful temple room. There's enough space in there. Please try to do that, unless you have a real good reason. So concentrate much better. You know, in the story of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Haridas Thakur and the prostitute, he was chanting in front of Tulsi Devi when she came to tempt him. Also when Maya Devi herself came to tempt him. Haridas Thakur was chanting in front of Tulsi Devi. And there in the Chaitanya Charitamrita it says that the opportunity of chanting Hare Krishna according to a vow in front of Tulsi Devi should not be missed. There's so much benefit. So if you chant in the temple room, you will be chanting in front of Tulsi Devi. But don't miss the opportunity. Krishna consciousness is a process. When you do it right, it works. So maybe tomorrow we'll speak more about the effort necessary for a good chanting. Tulsi Devi is a devotee in the shape of Tulsi Devi. By worshiping Tulsi Devi every day, you're worshiping a dear, intimate devotee. Tulsi Devi is there in the spiritual world. Tulsi Devi only goes on the feet of the Lord. How is she? Do you have? Krishna's desire. Do you know?
should have.
Harassing him for many years. 1970, what? Silver Jubilee
series.
Yeah, I used to, when he first showed up in the LA Temple in 76, I believe I was on his case. What did I tell you? You remember some of the things I told You wanted to go back to North Carolina, right? What did I tell you? But at least you didn't go, right? So, I guess it worked. You remember?
I want to ask a different question, too. One is asking a brain to Krishna for certain. To become a certain way, but other desires are getting in the way. Is that actually Krishna testing your sincerity, or is it just a flaw that you have?
Our flaw is that we are susceptible to things that are not for Krishna's pleasure. Yes, that is our flaw. And knowing we have that flaw, Krishna can get you to see that you have to choose him. Just like sometimes when you're chanting, disturbing thoughts come to your mind. So that is Krishna as Super Soul saying, remember when you used to do this? Is that what you want? You see, Bhakti Yoga means conscious choice, Krishna. You have to choose. So sometimes some bad thought will flash in your mind. That's like Maya saying, okay, remember you did this? Do you want it? Is this what you want? And when you say no, that's because you're attracted to Krishna. You have better things to do. Sarah? Try one at a time. What have you read so far?
I'm reading one like today again because I'm never
really careful. What else have you read besides Bhagavad Gita?
Well, I started reading
about
that. I think I'd be able to understand.
Well, you can understand Bhagavad Gita better by reading Srimad Bhagavatam because there's so many verses quoted from Bhagavad Gita in the purports of Srimad Bhagavatam. I don't think so. No. Well, who wouldn't want that you distribute books here?
Yeah, I mean, if you say, okay,
I don't think it works like that. I don't think so. You're part of the LA Temple? So that's where you do your service. Spiritual masters, unless there's a very good reason they don't, you know,
drag you here and there. We love to see you happily engaged in Krishna service. You're happily engaged in Krishna service? I think so. So that's the best thing. Since you started distributing books here, you've blossomed so wonderfully. Everybody knows that. We need more persons like you joining this service. All right. So I'll give class one more time to you and yourself. Nice to see you. See you all again soon. I'll try next time I come to stay longer. Maybe a couple of weeks. End of June.
Maharaj, I'm going to be
returning.
See, I was thinking of the question before you had to answer.
As I said, I'll try for the end of June. But please, you all, kindly fix your chanting. Get a serious chanting program together. The more devotees are chanting in the temple room, getting a job in the temple room, the better it is. It's like you've been to Chapadiya, but so many devotees chant in the temple. It's nice, isn't it? It's such a nice temple. There's so much space. Why everyone cannot chant in the temple? It's a much more productive experience to concentrate more. You know, chant in the temple in Krishna. At 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So please do that. Sarah, please do that. Everyone. It's a much more unified community devotional experience. If you are able to sit down and chant, that's nice, but you got to do what works for you. Sometimes devotees have a hard time sitting for us. So if you're a pacer, in any case, try to change the tempo. The pacers have to watch it, though, because sometimes they put more concentration on actually pacing than chanting. You seem like that sometimes?
There's three different tracks.
When I'm well exercised and well rested, I can chant all my rounds sitting down. But otherwise, like I said, I do the first set, walking around. The second set, I sit down. When I sit down on the pillow in front of Prabhupada, that's my second set that I do while I'm sitting down. But I'm coming off an airplane, sitting scrunched up for 12 hours, and I'm just discussing it. That's a bit. So I do have the first set. All right. Thank you all for coming tonight and sharing your association.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Be well.
His Holiness, Savior, Swami Ji.